and she gently but firmly shooed them all out of the common room and shut the door behind them. Owen shook his head slowly.
So that Saint B seems to have a good head on her shoulders. I was expecting one of the nuns who taught me as a child. All loud voices and stiff necks, and a devil with a steel ruler.
They probably went on to become Sisters of Glory.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. Now pay attention, people. Forget what she said. No one is to go off on their own. We don't know enough about the situation here. I don't think St. P would necessarily lie to us, but there could be all kinds of undercurrents here she knows nothing about. So Hazel and Moon, you come with me. Barney, at midnight, stick close together and watch your backs. We'll meet here in an hour.
He just loves being in charge.
Barney and Midnight nodded knowingly.
Let's get out of here before he starts making one of his speeches.
Midnight and Barney went off to meet some lepers. Owen looked haughtily at Hazel.
I have no idea what you were talking about.
Hazel grinned at Moon.
That's the problem. Lead the way, Sir Deathstalker, O Savior of Humanity.
With a look of haughty disdain, Owen set off. Hazel followed, grinning, and a rather mystified Moon brought up the rear. Bonnie Bedlam freaked the lepers out. She loved sweeping back her clothes to flash people and show off her many piercings and body modifications. Even after everything they'd been through, the lepers had never seen anyone like Bonnie. Soon, a small but fascinated crowd had formed around her. After a while, Bonnie and some of the braver lepers began comparing mutilations and trying to outdo one another in grossing each other out. There were shrieks and mock, shocked gasps, and soon Bonnie and the lepers were chatting away as though they'd known each other for years. The idea that someone would voluntarily cut and pierce and modify their own flesh fascinated the colonists, having been victimized by so many for a similar condition over which they had no control. That Bonnie took pride in her being different from the norm just blew them away. It wasn't long before Bonnie had fervent disciples sitting at her feet, working out how to start some piercings of their own.
All flesh is beautiful. Anything can be made sexy.
A spirited argument arose as to whether it was better to pierce dead flesh or that which still had some feeling. Bonnie strongly recommended the latter, to get the full experience. Midnight Blue stood quietly behind Bonnie, trying hard to be shocked, but not quite making it in the face of the lepers' obvious enthusiasm. It had never occurred to them that their disfigurements didn't have to be ugly. The lepers revealed more and more of themselves as they grew more comfortable in Bonnie's presence. Midnight began adding the occasional dry comment, just to provide a balance, and found a ready audience for her sharp wit. It had been a long time since the lepers had had anything to laugh at. Missing fingers and toes were common, and many had eaten away noses and ears. It was always the extremities that went first. Many had sores and open wounds that would not heal, sometimes bandaged, sometimes not. There were drugs that helped slow the symptoms, but there'd been no deliveries for some time. The Empire needed all its cargo ships for the war. So the lepers were left to die by inches, because even a saint's pleas had to take second place to the military. Abandoned yet again, the lepers refused to give in to their condition. They watched themselves and watched each other, and tried to live as normal a life as possible, as they fought to establish a self-sufficient colony. Children were being born for the first time, most of them free of the disease, as yet. For the first time, there was hope. For the future, if not for themselves. When things got too bad, there was the Mission Infirmary. Not so much a hospital, more a resting place before the end. A place where people could be cared for when they were no longer capable of caring for themselves. Mother Superior Beatrice ran the infirmary. The lepers couldn't say enough about her. She gave them hope and faith, and a reason to live when it would have been so easy to just lie down and die. The lepers worshipped her, much to her discomfort. Among themselves, they had declared her the patron saint of lepers. Bonnie at Midnight passed through the small village of low buildings, smiling and chatting and making themselves known, until finally they had to beg for a little time for themselves. The lepers withdrew to a respectful distance, while Bonnie and Midnight pulled up their hoods and lowered their voices so they could talk privately.
Oh, Jesus, the poor bastards. How can you keep smiling like that? They're dying, and they know it, and they haven't given up. I think of the kind of guts that takes, and I feel like nothing in comparison.
They're so brave. And I smile and laugh to make them laugh, because the last thing they need is some outsider weeping buckets over them.
They break my heart. It's so unfair. These people had lives, futures, dreams. They had friends and families and loved ones. And now they have nothing but the disease that's killing them. And they still believe in God. If I was in their place, I'd curse her name every day. They put me to shame.
If you so much as sniffle, I'll slap you a good one. We have to be strong for them.
Strength through piercing. A novel approach to psychotherapy.
Whatever works. Their bodies have ruled their lives for so long, it's only fair that they get back some control over their flesh.
They're strong people. They'll make good fighters when the Haydenmen come again.
Of course they will. But can we defend this place indefinitely?
Depends on how many Haydenmen we have to fight off, which in turn depends on how badly the Haydenmen want this planet. The mission's walls are sturdy, the attackers have to come to us across an open clearing, and apparently we don't have to worry about large-scale weaponry. And there's the Sisters of Glory that Hazel was so impressed by. The situation could be a lot worse. Anyway, the question's redundant. We'll hold out because we have to. There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, no starship to get us off planet.
And no reinforcements. It's just us.
So we'll have to be enough.
We don't stand a chance, do we?
Not a hope in hell.
At first, Owen and Hazel had to walk either side of Moon, with their hands hovering over their weapons, because once the lepers recognized a Hayden man, they either ran from him or tried to attack him. The atmosphere got very bad very quickly, until Owen identified himself, and just like that, the mood changed. People came running from all over the village to meet the legendary Deathstalker, and once he'd vouched for the Hayden man, things calmed down a lot. Everyone wanted to meet the great hero of the rebellion, and he warmed in the glow of the appreciation, and was soon at his most charming and gracious. Hazel smiled determinedly in his shadow, and did her best to be polite. Some people wanted Owen's autograph, and everyone wanted to shake his hand. Owen kept his smile steady as he clasped hands that weren't always complete, and had a kind word for everyone. No one wanted to get close enough to Hazel to shake her hand, and no one cared about Moon anymore. Soon the crowd around them had become so dense, there was no room to move, so Owen led the way to the compound before the main gate, and the crowd sat facing him in neat rows, filling the great open space. Owen had never felt at ease in front of large audiences, but the hero worship was unnerving him even more, so he overcame his natural tendency for speech-making and opted for a question-and-answer session. After a little prompting, people began introducing themselves and asking questions, most of them so familiar to Owen that he could have answered them in his sleep. Soon the lepers became just another audience to him, a little better behaved than most, as he began telling them about his time in the rebellion, or at least the parts that were suitable for public consumption. He won points for being quietly witty and self-effacing, and Hazel began chiming in now and again with what she considered telling points. The lepers treated them both with great respect, and Owen and Hazel couldn't help but warm to them. It had never occurred to them that the lepers might be fans of theirs, just like everyone else. Eventually, Owen ran out of things to say and introduced Moon. The audience listened quietly as he talked of his adventures with Owen and Hazel and how he had learned humanity from them. So much so that in the end, he turned on his own people to side with Owen and Hazel. Time went quickly by, and Owen was actually surprised when Oz murmured in his ear that his hour was nearly up. Owen wasn't sure what he'd expected from a colony of lepers, perhaps shambling death-like figures clanging a bell and shouting, "Unclean, unclean." These quiet, warm, and friendly people were a revelation to him. Previously, he'd seen his commitment to fight for them as a duty. Now he saw it as an honor. They'd been through so much, it didn't seem fair to him that they should have to face the Haydenmen as well. He announced at last that he had to leave, and a roar of protest went up. He explained that Mother Beatrice had a meal prepared for them, and the mention of the saint's name was all it took to clear the compound. Owen looked at Hazel.
So, what do you think?
They'll fight, but then I never doubted they would. Only hardline fighters would live and prosper in the face of all they have going against them, even before the Haydenmen. But God knows how long we can hold this place against an army. Moon?
I confess I find it hard to understand what the Haydenmen are doing here anyway. The colonists don't have anything worth the taking. There must be something else here, something we're missing. Something the Hayden men want so badly they're prepared to commit troops and resources here that must surely be needed elsewhere.
Keep thinking. If we knew what it was they wanted, maybe we could just give it to them or destroy it. Then maybe they'd go away and annoy someone else.
I wouldn't bet on that. Once the Hayden men find out we're here, it might well motivate them to raise the whole mission to the ground just to get us. We did, after all, wipe out what was to be their new homeworld on Brahmin 2, and the Hayden men have never been the most forgiving of people.
Please, I've got enough problems to think about.
I think a new one may be heading our way. Take a look at what just showed up.
They all looked, with varying degrees of disbelief, as a tall, skeleton-thin creature lurched towards them. Well over 6.5 feet tall, the newcomer wore a long black dress of tatters, belted round an impossibly thin waist to support a sword on one bony hip and a gun on the other. She wore tall lace-up boots, long green evening gloves with holes, and a tall, battered witch's hat with long purple streamers flying from the top. Her face was covered with white pancake makeup, pointed up by two bright red cheeks and metallic green lipstick and eyeshadow. She moved with an uneven, determined gait, her legs barely bending, as though the knees didn't work properly. She looked a lot like a marionette who'd cut her own strings, done something very nasty to the puppeteer, and then gone out into the world to do as much damage as possible before someone finally stopped her. Owen let his hand drift casually down to the gun at his side. The black-clad witch lurched to a halt before him, waited a moment to make sure all her parts had caught up with her, and then glowered at Owen in what she clearly thought was a friendly fashion.
Welcome to hell, Deathstalker. I'm Sister Marion, B's second in command. I run the place while she's busy being saintly. I was going to be a saint too when I was younger, but it turned out I didn't have the right attitude. So, they made me a Sister of Glory and sent me out to kick righteous ass on the kind of missions the church doesn't like to talk about in public. Then I caught leprosy, and they sent me here. Bastards! Still, a nun serves God wherever she's sent, and God knows this bunch needs all the help it can get. You can say hello now.
Hello, Sister Marion. Owen did his best to appear entirely unperturbed. It's a very striking outfit you're wearing. The nun stretched her green mouth in a disturbing smile that showed far too many teeth.
I dress like this to mess with people's heads, and the makeup and gloves help hide the skin lesions. People here will tell you I'm an eccentric or a Looney Tune. Don't listen to them. We all have our ways of dealing with our condition. Mine is just a little more dramatic than most. Now get your asses in gear and follow me. B's got dinner waiting, and there are things we need to discuss.
She turned around sharply, swayed for a moment like a flagpole in a high wind, and then marched stiff-leggedly off, without looking to see if anyone was following. Lepers scattered to get out of her way as she strode on, as implacable as a force of nature, and twice as dangerous.
So that's a Sister of Glory.
Yeah. I don't know what the Hayden men will make of her, but she scares the crap out of me. Did you notice she didn't blink once the whole time she was talking to us? That nun is in serious need of psychotherapy, and possibly a hole in her head to let the devils out.
You don't get invited to be a Sister of Glory because of your even temperament. Personally, I think she's the most encouraging thing I've seen since I got here. At least someone here knows how to fight. Just pull her pin, throw her at the enemy, and stand well back.
I just hope we can defuse her afterwards. That is a very dangerous person.
You should know. They set off after Sister Marion and followed her back to the main building, maintaining a respectful distance at all times. They picked up Bonnie and Midnight along the way. Bonnie admired Sister Marion's dress sense. Midnight managed a frosty greeting. Sister Marion led her guests inside,